You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. Dana. Stumbled a little bit on that intro. This is Loose Balls, back at it again with Guru Greeny
and Gersh. Gersh.
What's up, boys? What's up?
Greeny? How are we doing?
What's up? Seems like it's that time of year again where we're talking about some World Series baseball. So we got the Atlanta Braves versus the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
So currently Braves are up 3-2, a little bit surprised with their run, but I'm not complaining. And will they blow the lead? Are they going to blow a 3-1 lead?
It'd be very Atlanta for them to blow this lead. I don't think they will. I think they win in six. Hopefully they don't let it get to seven.
That's going to be a scary one.
They have the two best starters left in the series. The games are being, you know, the games are in Houston. Both games are in Houston. But they do have the two best starting pitchers left in the series. Braves bullpen, not Braves bullpen, Houston's bullpen sort of depleted. You know, Braves had a chance to finish it in five.
They had that grand slam in the first inning.
Grand slam in the first. You're up 4-0. You're feeling good.
Like, that just gives you so much energy.
Yeah. I mean, imagine being at that, like, paying to go to that game, being at the game.
First inning bomb.
Get to your seat. First inning grand slam, then you're like, oh my god, I'm about to watch something not a lot of people get to do. The last team to clinch a World Series at home was the 2013 Boston Red Sox, by the way. Mm-hmm. But something not a lot of people get to say is they watched their team clinch a World Series on their home field, and you're thinking, that's about to be me. And then all of a sudden, they blow it. They didn't blow it. The Astros, you know.
But they just lost.
Like they lost. Yeah, they got beat.
Second inning, it was 5-4, and then it just was a regular game at that point.
They were up 4-0 after the first and continued to lose in the final eight innings, 9-1.
Yeah.
Right? You got your teeth kicked in.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they have two more chances at it. So yep.
Fried versus Garcia, I believe, tonight.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Probably saving Ian Anderson for Game 7.
Jan Anderson. Yep. Shout out Trevor Plouffe. I don't know if you guys saw this, but on March 31st at 12:05 p.m., an hour before the first pitch of the 2021 MLB season, he said Braves over Astros in six.
I saw that.
Pretty cool,
right?
Yeah, pretty cool. He's a recurring member of the John Boy and Jake Talking Baseball podcast. Mm. So
this is a big night for him.
Big night. If he were to put $1,000 on that exact on that exact prediction, do you guys know how much he would have won?
Probably like $400K.
Jacob?
If he put $1,000 on it?
$1,000.
Before the season started.
Oh, like on well over $1 million.
$25 million.
Yeah. Oh, I was a little off.
You're a little off. $25 million on the exact number, both teams correctly and the games correctly.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Very impressive. And I mean, like the Braves, I don't know what their odds were before the season, but neither of these teams were World Series favorites.
Nope.
You know, you're talking Dodgers, Yankees,
Giants.
I think definitely the Astros were.
They're up there just because, you know, the AL, but.
I think they're pretty up there, like top five favorites.
I think Astros are probably a little bit higher than the Braves, but also remember the Braves had a really good year last year and 2 years ago. I think.
And they had Acuna.
And they had Acuna and reigning MVP Freeman.
Yeah. It sucks to be Acuna right now. Yeah. I couldn't imagine.
I mean, he's probably just itching a play right now. He's like, I gotta be in the game.
I mean, he wants to be a part of that run, and like obviously he's gonna get a ring and everything, uh-huh. And like say he was on the team.
But you want to play.
Like, guys, wait for me. Like, please just wait for me. Like, I want to come back and win with you. But
like, it's like in like you're pretty much a bench player, and you're like, oh, I don't get any playing time.
That's fine though. No, if you're a bench player and you're just along for the ride, just like.
But like he deserves to play because
if he were playing,
because he knows he could just destroy everyone.
Yeah, it must be hard for him to be watching that.
Mm-hmm. Like this series probably would have been over.
Yeah, but I think they win it in six. Hopefully they do. I mean, I would hate to see that.
Yeah,
Braves blow this.
The Houston's like pitching staff has just gone to sham. McKiller's injured. Valdez is injured or no?
McKiller's still out.
Verlander's out.
I think they have Garcia tonight.
They have Garcia tonight. Vasquez is injured, right?
No, the guy you're talking about, the guy that got hurt pitching.
Yeah. What's that guy's name?
Was that Garcia?
That was Garcia. He's fine. Okay, he's fine. He's fine. He got hurt versus the Red Sox, and then in the clinching game six, had his velo up 4 miles an hour and his spin rate up 150 RPMs. But yeah.
Oh, I wonder what
it's just weird. It's just weird how stuff like that can happen.
Maybe, I mean, a little bit buzzer action, a little sticky stuff.
You know, he was playing with that ponytail a lot, if you were watching the game. But, you know, not one, you know, Sox lost that series fair and square. It's just, you know, I saw a lot of former players, Lou Maloney especially, of course, questioning, saying, hey, this isn't right. But yeah, tonight we got Fried versus Garcia. Hopefully things go better for Fried. He's an ERA of 11. Yeah. In the
Garcia's post- like a 7 ERA, I think.
No, 2.45, because he had that start against the Sox.
Okay. I think Fried's went down.
I think actually, it's just in the series, though.
But, man, the Astros lineup. Oh, yeah, just in the series. You're right.
Yeah.
The Astros lineup is scary as hell.
Oh, yeah.
They have Bregman batting 7th.
Oh, yeah. And obviously, I was like, you know, it must really stink for Bregman when they play in Atlanta and he bats 7th. Probably hits like a double with 2 outs, you know, empty bases. Who hits behind him? Martin Maldonado, who can't hit a beach ball with an oar.
Yeah, but he plays catcher. That's all he does.
He is so bad.
He is like a 190 like hitting average.
My God, dude, watching Martin Maldonado hit in the playoffs, worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, it's because every time he comes up to one, you're always expecting him to get out. At least this is what it was when it was playing the Red Sox. Single. No. But you knew eventually he was going to get a single and it was going to suck because the whole dugout's going to go crazy for him.
And like the single happens at the worst time.
And he's the guy in the Astros lineup you need to get out. You need to get Maldonado.
Yeah, like you could put a changeup down the middle every time and he's probably striking out on 3 pitches.
Yeah.
His OBP for the series is 184.
Mm-hmm.
His average is 114.
That's pretty bad.
All 5 of his hits are singles.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on to the NBA. Season started about a week ago.
Nah, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And a lot of action.
A lot of action. We're back. You know, clearly, obviously, a giant Celtics fan. So things, part of me is upset, but I understand the historical significance of this season. So the Celtics deciding to lose 75 games in honor of the 75th anniversary is touching.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's touching. It's a great tribute to the NBA, the fact that they're going to go 7-75. But it'll live on in infamy that, you know.
You know,
look
I'd
at what the,
more,
Celt- the Celtics
more
losing 70
the Celtics if they respect the 75th anniversary.
Yes, which is what they're doing. So, you know, they're going to lose the 75 games. Got the number one pick and rebound for next year, which, I mean, that's clearly what they're doing right now.
So you're saying they're not going to make the playoffs?
I mean, you saw yesterday they were up
19.
They're up 19.
Going into the fourth.
And they lose by 14. It's the first time in NBA history that's ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say,
it was a 38-11 run.
Can I just say the most disappointing thing for me to see right now is the fact, by the way, shout out to our listener right now, Louis Gershon. But
it's my brother.
The most frustrating thing for me is Tatum's finishing at the rim. It's so weak. It's like, dude, you are 6'10". You're pretty strong. You, what, turnaround jumpers at the block? When you go up against Christian Wood, he's not an elite rim protector.
Yeah, Tatum's, I mean, this is something that my dad has been talking about for a while, is, you know, that he's flashy, he's a great scorer. But then
teams are going to catch up.
The finishing when he wants to is just not there. It just isn't. It hasn't been there. He hasn't gotten stronger. He was supposed to have worked all summer on getting downhill and getting to the line. Hasn't been doing that. It's just some really, like, alarming stuff. He's shooting under, he has a true shooting percentage under 50% while having the most field goals attempted in the league. He finished the double overtime game against the Wizards in which he played 46 minutes with 3 assists.
Yeah,
do you know how hard it is to be touching the ball as much as Tatum gets a touch every possession? Unlike Jaylen, the ball touches Tatum's hands every possession he's in. And he finished the game with 3 assists. That is, let's count overtimes as like a one,
well, I mean,
as a fifth quarter
so far, right?
I mean, let's count the overtimes in that game as a fifth quarter. He had less than an assist a quarter, which is it's unbelievable. It's less than an assist a quarter. And if he's a top 10 guy, you got to be able to distribute. Other alarming things for the Celtics, they're 0-3 at home.
Yeah, that's very surprising. They got to age that place. They got to do something, switch it up. Do you know by chance what Marcus Smart is shooting right now?
Marcus Smart is not the problem.
No. I just want to know for...
But then also, jumping back to the touches and the shots, Jason Tatum and Bradley Beal are the only two guys averaging 24 or more shots a game. Mm-hmm. Combined, they played 13 games. They're both shooting under 40%. They're both scoring. Tatum scoring 25, Beal 24.
Mm-hmm. So I was watching a little bit of the post interview, and this is why I wanted to know Marcus Smart's stats. He was like, I know the ball is going to go to Tatum and Brown, and I know teams are going to cover their plays because they study them the hardest because they get the shots and they get the most efficiency. So he's like, oh, instead of passing to them, I'll take the shot. And, I mean, 8.8 points a game, 4 rebound or 4 assists, shooting 28% from 3. You can't be saying that.
Yeah, and I just want to say, screw off Mark Stein, because Mark Stein tweeted this totally out of context. He tweeted the quote, and that's where I first saw it. Has a good amount of interactions on Twitter. He said, Marcus Smart, among many observations in this thread, says of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, quote, they don't want to pass the ball. All right. Did he say those words in order? Yes. But it was in the middle of a 3-minute interview in which he said they're working together and they're young guys, mm-hmm. and everyone's working together to try to, like, you know, it's difficult for them and it's not an easy thing. But he takes it out of context as, oh, Marcus Smart's fighting with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So you know what, Mark Stein, maybe you should be a little more responsible. Maybe a little more responsible. Tweet the whole quote. Don't just take things out of context. Because I read that and I thought, I was like, oh, that's Marcus Smart, that's beef. There's beef there. And then you read the full quote and you're like, okay, wait, there's no beef there. Mark Stein is just looking for mentions and retweets and likes. And so, come on. Yeah, be better than that.
All right, so moving on from the Celtics, who just are having a tough season so far.
Wait, last thing on the Celtics. Okay. Final, this, I promise this is the last thing on the Celtics. They need to win these games. What, say cap?
Yeah.
You're probably right. But they need to win these games. All right, two more things in the Celtics.
Make it three.
In December, they have a brutal, brutal stretch coming up.
Do they have a Christmas game?
They do have a Christmas game against the Knicks.
I'm not watching that.
Oh, yes, you are. Come on.
I'd rather watch Christmas.
Are you going to be in services?
That'd be good. Oh, wait.
If anyone's looking for a good Christmas movie, Klaus.
By myself.
Klaus. Great movie.
Klaus 2
might be coming out soon.
All right, what are your takes?
Anyway, Celtics' schedule in December is brutal. They have a West Coast road trip. They're playing Bucks, the Heat, the Bulls a bunch. You know, brutal December schedule. It's vital that they win these games in November, and they've given no inclination that they're going to. Second is that Josh Richardson is terrible.
Yes.
He's awful.
He can't rebound. He could sometimes score.
A potential trade I saw on Twitter. I mean, we're thinking trades very early in the season, but I really don't think Josh Richardson lasts very long on this team. Possibly a Josh Richardson for Jeremy Lamb swap.
I would like that.
With the and Jeremy Lamb's an expiring. He's on the Pacers, who are starting 2-6 as well. They've been disappointing. I mean, I was looking forward to their team that they've got with Rick Carlisle.
But Duarte's been playing well. He's playing 36 minutes.
Can we do a Josh Richardson for Chris Duarte swap?
I don't think they'd agree to that. But, I mean, I'll take Jeremy Lamb off their hands. And now I'm done with the Celtics. Shifting over to the NBA, and this is more of like a holistic view of things before we get into individual teams. Did you guys see what Paul George, and this is not a Paul George thing, before you roll your eyes at me, said? And obviously, I don't know if you guys know, but the NBA switched the ball they were using. They're using a different ball this year. And in the first few games, some of the players were like, huh, this is different. And Paul George had a pretty good quote today. I'll find the exact quote while you guys discuss this.
Did they not tell the players?
No, they told the players.
Oh, I was going to say, like, that would be funny if they're just like, ha, see if you figure it out.
Was that why Tatum's not shooting as well?
So, Paul, this is what comes to the Paul George thing. Paul George was vocal today saying that a bunch of good players in the NBA, and you can even look at Dame Lillard, is struggling a lot. Pretty much everyone except Curry. Is struggling because Curry is just amazing.
He shoots anything. He could shoot a bowling ball going.
Yeah, so Lillard in 6 games averaging 18.3 points per game on 35, 23, 95. So this isn't just like Tatum and Beal.
It's a lot of stars.
It's all around. Yeah. And he's so Paul George said, quote, not to make an excuse or anything. It's just a different basketball. Does not have the same touch or softness as the Spalding ball had. You'll see this year there's going to be a lot of bad misses. I wonder what your guys' thoughts were on this as – it pertains to. You know, it's nothing you don't really talk about, but I mean, you obviously you play basketball, the ball obviously has an effect. And you're playing all your games with one ball and they throw out this new ball.
Yeah, like you said, when it comes down to it, you're playing with the same ball, you're practicing with the same ball for, I don't know, probably over a decade, maybe over two decades at this point. And they just switch it up on you, like different grip, different bounce, different like bounce off the rim. I mean, those things play a big role into the game, and I'm not surprised people are shooting. I don't even know they switched the ball, but I mean, it kind of makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I have a question. Can I switch a little bit?
Yeah, but last before you switch, CJ McCollum did say to this that, quote, "It's not the ball's fault I miss shots, LOL. That's the shooter's fault, for the record," end quote. So,
I mean, I think it's like partly both.
Yeah, it's partly both, but hopefully shooting gets better.
Mm-hmm. I think like in a month's time, everyone just get in the groove again.
Okay, Jacob.
All right, so there are a lot of teams. The teams are pretty much somewhere between 6 and 8 games through the year.
Yep.
I want you to rate these takes for MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Sixth Man of the Year.
Way too early picks, but well, yeah.
Yes,
but yeah, way but too early. We're saying that they're way too early. Right.
I want you to rate these from most to least likely. Like hottest to coldest takes, okay? MVP, Ja Morant. Sixth Man of the Year, Tyler Hero. Rookie of the Year, Chris Duarte.
I think,
at the end of the season, which you think are most likely, which you think are least likely?
John Morant's not winning MVP.
The most likely is probably Chris Duarte, because I think the only contender he has right now is Scottie Barnes.
Who is missing another game tonight.
Yes, because of his thumb.
But yeah, you haven't seen Cade really play.
I mean, Cade hasn't really played, but like from what I've seen, he looks like he's pretty injury prone. Chris Duarte is playing 36 minutes, averaging 18.5 points a game. If you get that much production and that much time in a field on the court, I mean, you're going to put up numbers and you're going to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I think with Rookie, like, Jalen Green definitely could turn it on and end up scoring 20 points a game over his final 2 months of the year. Franz Wagner looks so much better than his brother already.
Yeah. the thing was with Jalen Green, I love him, right? Like, he's a great shooter. Yeah. He's just very, like, on and off, I'd say. Yeah. He shoots a lot, but his shooting percentage is, like, not as high as it should be for the amount of points he's scoring.
4%, yeah. 29 from
3. But, yeah. Is that it for you?
Jaw's so good.
Jaw's so good.
I love Jaw.
Both the Magic rookies, you could see. I just think...
Yeah, Jalen Alexander will mention
it. That's a crowded backcourt, right? You got Cole Anthony, you got... Suggs. Fultz still in the ACL, but he'll be back at some point this year. Ross is a veteran guard. He'll take touches. I think Wagner's probably got a better chance as a rookie year than Suggs. I still really like Suggs, though.
All right, I have an important announcement to make. This one's to you, Gersh.
Mm-hmm.
So after two very long seasons for this one player, he struggled in the bubble. During the middle of the season, he struggled last year. And picked it up in the playoffs, but I am officially on board with Paul George now just because of this one stat. The Clippers were down yesterday 82-91 with 2.5 minutes left on the clock, right? Every possession since the 2.5 minutes started, Paul George 3, Paul George rebound, Paul George 3, Paul George block, Paul George assist, George 2, George steal, Reggie 2, here, a little break, and then George rebound, and then free throws for him, and then they win 99-94.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, The Clippers are a team, you know, they've been underperforming. They're gonna
have Kawhi.
They're gonna miss Kawhi all year. He's not gonna be here this year. I don't think he plays. And Paul George cannot be the best player on a great team. Mm-hmm. He can on a great, like, if you trade Paul George and Donovan Mitchell, the Jazz are still great.
Yeah.
As the Clippers are constructed, Paul George is not built to be the best player on that team. They need Kawhi and Paul George. But it is still nice to see him shooting, playing well.
Yeah. I mean, going off your article that you wrote, like, only star on the team, high efficiency.
Yeah.
It makes sense. But, I mean, he's a good player now.
Yep. And, I mean, we touched a little bit on Ja Morant.
He's so good.
He's
averaging, like, 25, right?
He's so fun to watch. And he's, like...
28.
28?
He's averaging 28 points on 20 shots.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting 39% from three. Oh, he's also adding 8 assists a game.
Yeah. Did you see that crazy like layup shot that he did falling down and then just threw it up and it went in?
Yeah. Ugh. He's so good. And also, shout out Santi Aldama.
Mm-hmm.
Scored
Patriots League
7 points last Wednesday
in the game. Very nice.
Wow. Total blowout. 7 points in 6 minutes. Hit a three.
Is he on the Nuggets or the Grizzlies?
Grizzlies. And then he had 2 points in a blowout against the Heat. So Santi Aldama in the league. Saw him play live. He's pretty good.
Justin Jaws playing in the Oklahoma City Blues G League team.
Yep. That's Justin Jaworski for all you listeners.
Ex Lafayette pro.
Yep. Professional basketball player. And speaking of Ja Morant, someone we haven't seen this season, and I don't know when we'll see him. I mean, he told us himself on September 29th that he fully expects to be 100% healthy and play on opening night.
Who?
I'll let you guess.
Stop. Oh, my God.
He said on, this was the end of September, said I will 100% be healthy, ready to play opening night. Today it came out he is at least 3 weeks away from playing.
No, he said 2 to 3 weeks.
Did you say what team this is yet or no?
I have not. But you can guess.
Jamal Murray?
It's not Jamal Murray.
No. Think about it. Think about how it'd be related to Ja Morant.
Think about
Zion.
It's Zion Williamson.
Oh my gosh. And then he's gonna get injured again with his
300 video pound. Of him like doing stuff before the game. One, he looked gassed by the end of it.
Oh, he's a big boy.
And he gained some weight.
Have you seen his have you seen his rookie year media day versus year's media day? Yeah. He's chunky.
And I
think he's just got to play center now because he can't run.
No, he just moves so lethargically. It's just like...
It's almost like...
It might be worse than Shaq and Charles Barkley.
He's huge and he's explosive and he's a great athlete, but like...
It doesn't add up.
Your body just can't handle them.
It's like you're scoring points, but you're killing yourself at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know. I would be very scared if I was the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Not that I'd be entertaining offers on him, but like...
I just hope he stays healthy.
Like if Zion Williamson, the basketball player, potentially could have a shorter NBA career than Zion Williams, the left tackle.
Yeah.
Just because the jumping and the running for his body might break down.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's something to watch. It's just like, you know, he said he was going to play opening night. Now we're 2 weeks into the season, and he's saying 2 to 3 more weeks. So we'll see you at Christmas, Zion.
So who do you think plays first, him or Ben Simmons?
It's a great question. I think Zion.
Yeah.
I think Ben Simmons sits out for... we don't see him.
I don't think they're going to trade him at the deadline, and they're just going to... I don't know. Something weird's happening.
I think two things. I think, one, Ben Simmons has soft syndrome, which you already know. Two, I think that you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College.
You're a
radio.
Bum.
Don't do that again.
This is Lish Balls with Guru... Greeny and Gersh.
He shut off his mic.
No.
Maybe at the 5:30 mark.
Yeah, we are at the 5:30 mark.
Needed to be done.
Louie texting in says that Paul George is the most hot cold player in the NBA in his opinion. You know, I sort of agree with that. I think that he's had some cold in terms. I think more of. Not hot cold where he's streaky and one night he's great, one night he's terrible. I just think hot cold in terms of that his hots are very hot. His hots are he's scoring 40 points on the road against the Jazz.
Or 40-10-8.
To make the Western Conference semifinals. And his colds are he's shooting the ball off the side of the backboard in game 7.
He's passing the ball to Ghost outside.
Yeah, he's throwing the ball off the side of the backboard in game 7 after choking a 3-1 lead. So, you know... The high floor, very low ceiling with Paul George, as we've seen. But, you know, just like Calvin Ridley, it's okay to not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he was okay in the bubble. So,
just based off what we've seen so far in the NBA, can you please give me your top five, like at the end of, like going into the playoffs, give me the top five teams. Like rank the seeds.
Well, for each conference?
Just the Eastern, I'd say.
Just the East right now?
Because it's probably the most unpredictable.
Sure.
Any order or just your five?
Just the top five seeds.
Okay.
In an order or no?
Yeah, in order.
Okay. I go Bucks 1.
Agree.
I'm not wavering off of that. I go Bucks 1, Nets 2, Heat 3, Bulls 4, Sixers 5.
Ooh, okay.
I like that.
All right, here's where I disagree.
I would have switched Heat and the Bulls.
I think the Heat have been there before, and they have guys that have been there before. And they have, I mean, obviously they have DeRozan, who's been awesome.
Oh, he scored DeRozan's like 37 last night, I think.
But the Bulls and Heat will be close all year, and, you know, they both have, they're not similar teams, but they're both teams you don't want to play for different reasons.
So no Knicks up there. I was kind of surprised about that as well.
It's, you know, Kemba won't be. He'll miss time. Kemba will miss time. Mitchell Robinson will get hurt.
But they don't really need Kemba. They didn't have him last year.
I know. RJ looks good.
RJ looks great.
King Julius looks good. Bing Bong.
Mm-hmm. He looks okay. Yeah.
The Bing Bong thing with the Knicks. Do you get that?
No.
It's so funny. It's so dumb, but it's so funny. The fact that the Knicks are finally good, and the phrase that the New Yorkers collectively could come up with for this team was Bing Bong.
Bing Bong Knicks. That
Bing
means,
Bong.
That means they're a first round fizzle. I would hesitate to put. Did you put Raptors in top five?
Come on, you're being ridiculous.
No. Who'd you put? Who's your fifth team?
He said the Bulls.
The Sixers.
Right now, I think I would put. I just like the Hawks more. I like the Sixers.
Okay. I thought you were going to say the Raptors.
No.
I think the Hawks are just too injury prone.
Oh, I think the Sixers are way too injury prone.
So I think the five should be the Knicks.
No.
Bucks, Nets, Heat, Bulls, Knicks.
Bucks, Nets.
Then Sixers, then Atlanta.
Heat, Bucks, Nets.
Celtics aren't even in the conversation. That's how sad things have come. They're not even being discussed.
Maybe they can reach the play-in game, but they have to get over like the Pacers and the Cat. I don't know.
You can't look at standings yet. The standings don't mean anything yet.
Keep in mind, the Bulls have played the Pelicans, the Pistons twice, the Raptors. They only lost to the Knicks. They had a good win at home against the Jazz, and then they beat the Celtics, who don't know their left from their right.
And I did it last podcast too, but I will read again the Bulls schedule until Monday, November 22nd is Philly twice, Brooklyn, Dallas, and then they go to the West. They play Golden State, both LA teams, Portland, Denver, then they come back home and play the Knicks.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a great test to see if they're a top five seed.
I think 1-2-3 goes Milwaukee, Brooklyn, probably Miami, and then 4-5 repeat of last year in some order is Atlanta, New York.
Yeah,
and I would love to see the Nets lose 4-1 again, or the Knicks lose 4-1 again to the Hawks.
Yeah, I don't think they can. Like, if they do, it's just
it'd be Bing Bong,
Bing Bong,
Bing Bong,
and we'll see. I mean, Trae Young's obviously struggling with the calls as is Harden.
I think it's because of the new ball too.
Yeah, could be. I love the new way they're calling the games now.
Yeah, it's different.
I love it.
Who's most likely to win the lottery or to have the highest odds to win the lottery?
So go back to the standings.
Worst team in the league.
I think the Pistons. Probably.
I think the Thunder are a pretty safe bet.
No, I think the Rockets are also a decent bet.
No, the Rockets are
They're sneaky though.
But they're gonna have guys that just like
Jalen Green's just gonna
score 30 sometimes. Yeah. So is Kevin Porter Jr. And of course
Kenyon Martin,
Alperen Şengün.
Do you think the Timberwolves are real?
I actually think they're going to be good this year.
No, I don't.
They're going to be like a sneaky like 9 or 8 season.
They do this every year.
Yeah,
one team does this every year. I just don't think so.
I just like how they play though.
The Timberwolves.
Yeah. What about the Kings? They're not good, right?
No, Kings aren't good. I mean, we can't look at the standings because you know who's going to be good, and there's going to be one team who maybe grabs an 8. Like the Suns are struggling, mightily. So we'll see what happens with them, but. You know, I bet by the end of the year they're fine.
I think they'll be fine.
So,
favorite player on a bad team, Naz Reid.
I know, I do like Naz Reid.
Yeah,
he can shoot.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
He shoots the ball.
He's a big body too.
Louis says, "Magic to win the lottery?" Question mark. I think they'll be in the lottery for sure.
Oh, but they'll probably be picking top five.
But they got young guys who are playing hard.
And I think they have a lot of talent. It is.
I don't think they have a lot of talent.
No.
I think they have a lot of young talent. Like, they're young.
Yeah, they have a lot of young talent.
Yeah, but not nowhere near good enough.
No, they're not good. But they're a bad team. Very bad team. Yeah. But they have guys who will play. Like, Cole Anthony will win them some games just because he plays hard. Yeah. Is Markelle Fultz back yet?
No.
Is he coming back soon?
I think at some point. Like,
he was good.
Yeah.
Do you know when Jamal Murray's coming back? I miss that guy.
How is Mo Bamba?
Likely March, I think. Because ACL is a year injury. So, or 10 months of January. Yeah.
How are Mo Bamba, Wendell Carter, each averaging over 12 points and 9 rebounds?
Mo Bamba's had a resurgence.
Yeah, he's back.
He's blocking two shots
also,
a game.
It's also the Magic, so. And Vucevic's not there anymore, so.
And he also starts alongside Carter.
Yeah.
They start two point guards and two centers, and then Franz Wagner. That makes no sense.
Shut up.
What?
Who's going to play Mo Bamba?
Huh?
Who's going to play Mo Bamba?
Oh.
Not even talking about Mo Bamba.
Kind of disappointed Chuma Okeke only gets a couple minutes.
What about Ken Birch? Oh, no, he's not on there.
No, he's on the Raptors.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, we'll have... let's look at the Celtics schedule.
Is it tough?
Not yet. This is... I'll tell you the tough part is... Here we go. Philadelphia, Utah, Portland, LA, both LA teams, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Golden State, New York, Philly.
Like,
are their first
like you don't see winning any of them, but just because it's basketball, they'll probably win like two of them.
They're going to win more than two.
Better. Tell me what two or more. They can beat the Suns.
They'll win one of these games in Utah or in Portland.
Portland and Suns, I think.
The Clippers. They'll beat the Clippers.
Yeah. That's about it, though.
And they could beat Golden State. We always play the Warriors very well, especially at home. Wow, this is crazy. The tickets for the Celtics Lakers game are as low as $97, and the tickets for the LA Clippers game a day later are $12.
The LeBron effect.
Well, I know. But did
LeBron,
you see
AD Carmelo?
No,
all
right, did
no,
you
not
see
even that? It's the Lakers.
Did you
Lakers
see
Celtics?
The guy sitting, the view of the guy sitting behind LeBron who looked
like LeBron.
It's a stunt double from Space Jam 2, but. This account on Twitter retweeted it and said, LeBron loved his fifth ring so much he went back in time to watch it over again.
Oh, my God.
And I thought that... I thought that was the cringiest thing. Implying, one, that LeBron James has invented time travel.
And implying, two, that the Lakers
win
aren't good.
The finals are good, which I don't think they are. Did you see the video of Westbrook throwing the ball up to talk the backboard?
Yeah.
He's so...
I don't know how you can hit the side of the backboard from that angle.
Paul George can.
Yeah.
Well, Paul George, it makes sense. He's on the baseline. You know, you're off a foot to the right. You're throwing the ball out of bounds. But you're, like, sort of straight away. You got to, like, get around the backboard to have it hit the side of the backboard.
It's funny.
Yeah. It's a good time.
I also saw...
I think the best player on the team right there is Melo right now. He's averaging, like, 16, I want to say.
I do like Melo. I'm a Melo
fan. I saw something about Westbrook's, like, added wins or losses to his team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his final 3 years on the Thunder at, like, I think 6 years ago, it was, basically over the last, like, 5 or 6 years, it's just gone from, like, very highly positive, slowly towards zero, and is now very highly negative.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I will, also, what was I going to say? It's escaping me.
Mm-hmm.
Totally escaping me. Dang, I had something really good to say too. Anyways, yeah, the Lakers are interesting.
Yeah, I think they'll be like 60-20.
Oh, I remember what I had to say. I remember now.
What am I saying? I don't know what I'm saying.
I remember what I'm going to say now. Is that LeBron, obviously now Melo's playing with LeBron, you know, whole banana boat crew. Dwayne Wade saved Melo from drowning. That's a whole other story. If you don't know that story, you should look it up. It's pretty interesting. But... LeBron, when they signed him and when he came back in the league, was like, oh, the whole league, like, you guys are passing on Melo. Like, you messed up. Like, you're passing on my boy Melo. When LeBron has been the GM of every team he's been on since 2014.
He could have picked him up easily.
So easily.
5 years ago.
If LeBron wanted Melo, Melo would have been with LeBron.
Yes.
So
yes.
When LeBron is calling out all these GMs for passing on Melo, he's calling out himself. Because guess what? If LeBron goes to... his GM, whoever it was with the Cavs. I mean, they had multiple because whatever. LeBron's stuff a GM happened. Killer.
Yeah.
But
did he ever have Kobe Altman?
Yeah, Kobe Altman. If LeBron goes to Kobe Altman, he's like, I want to play with Melo. Melo's on the Cavs. That's just how it works. So LeBron being like, oh, your GM's messed up. You didn't want to play with him either, buddy.
Melo was unemployed for a full year.
Over a year.
And, right? And at not one point did Melo come in for a tryout with a LeBron team.
Is that a bad friend?
Yeah. Terrible friend. Terrible friend.
The Toronto Raptors, by the way.
They're bad. They're not good.
I don't care about their record. I just like the names on the team. You want to hear them?
Scottie Barnes.
OG Anunoby. Scottie Barnes. Fred Van Vliet. Gary Trent Jr. Precious Achiuwa. Svi Mykhailiuk.
Mykhailiuk.
He's terrible. Anyway, Kem Birch, Goran Dragic, Chris Boucher, Delano Banton, Malachi Flynn, Justin Champagne, Isaac Bonga, and our boy Sam Decker. That's a great roster of names.
We're pro Sam Decker, anti Malachi Flynn. He punched a woman.
Yeah.
I'm pro Malachi Richardson.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Flynn. Wasn't he the one that was with Larsa Pippen?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Mom?
Huh?
The mom of the...
Yeah.
No? Think
no, Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
Oh, I think so.
I think it was Malachi Richardson. Get a quick
fact. There's something about her being with Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson's...
Oh, no, no, that's Tyler Lydon you're talking about.
No. Larsa Pippen was someone on the Timberwolves.
Barry Jousy?
Nope.
Well, I wasn't reading the Timberwolves.
Well, I know. I'm just saying Malachi Richard. Well, Malik Beasley was the one. Yes.
He also had like a huge suspension for something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That,
right? He did drugs. No, he like.
He did drugs, guys.
Guys, Malachi.
We got
Malik Beasley did drugs.
No. It was like something kind of serious. I think it was like breaking and entering or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like assault and battery.
He Richard Sermon'd somebody.
But while we're on the. Raptors, something cool that they're doing and that Nick Nurse is doing is he understands that they're a little lacking talent-wise, so he's sort of changing the way that they're playing and giving his bigs full authority to just, once they get the rebound, sprint down the court and have them be the ones to take the ball up, not get it, wait for a guard, and the guard brings it up. So there's all these plays of Precious Achiuwa just going coast to coast. Precious Achiuwa.
Just trying to like run in transition.
Yeah, Chris Boucher literally grabbing the rebound, turning, and sprinting. Just because, you know, other teams are used to, you take a shot, they get the rebound, big looks for the point guard brings it up, whereas now, just big gets the rebound, we're going, like, we're just gone.
Well, I think that's also, like, Scottie Barnes' thing coming out of college was, he's a beast in transition, and he's not a big, but he can play like a big if you need him to.
Yep.
I mean, he's leading the team in rebounds.
He's good.
Him and Precious.
So, how did Malik Beasley get suspended last year?
It was, for a felony threats charge.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
So that happened.
Speaking of suspensions, a little transition to the NFL.
You better not say Henry Ruggs.
I didn't say it yet.
Why are you laughing?
Let's just say he's out 2 years.
At minimum.
He's out 2 to 4 years.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
And before we talk about this discussion, I think we should preface by saying none of this really matters because someone lost a life.
Yes. Terrible.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about it because, you know, we talk about sports and this has sports implications. But what means more than the sports implications,
is the family
of whoever was killed in this terrible accident. Yeah. And
we send our
condolences. Boneheaded decision.
All of Loose Ball stands with the victims of the Henry Ruggs accident.
Yes. So just wanted to preface and say that before we talk about, you know, so we don't go, oh, you're ignoring the real. We know the real issue, and it means far more than football.
Yes,
but from a football perspective,
All of our listeners are about to rip into us on Twitter right now and expose us.
I don't know. I get all these DMs.
Louis, you better not.
Wait, can we just talk?
Louis is half of our listeners.
So,
Jeff.
Regarding recent news between the Raiders organization, it's just been a bad year for them.
Yeah.
Oh, I was
super tough couple weeks.
So you have Mark Davis's haircut, which is probably not the worst of all three, but then it's like definitely pretty tragic. Then you have John Gruden insulting Roger Goodell as well as some other groups of people.
Yeah. He insulted all these different groups and Roger Goodell. and who made $130 million over the last 2 years.
Yep. And then this unfortunate accident happened, which is, like, you should not be out at 3:40
a.m. John be drunk driving.
Yeah.
Like, why are you still doing that?
You're literally 24. You just got out of college a year ago, 2 years ago.
You've worked so hard to get to this point in your life. I'm guessing. Maybe he hasn't worked hard and he's just, like, gifted because he's so fast. I don't know if that's something that just, like, you're born with, level of speed. But,
like, if you're that fast, you don't have to drive that
fast. Are you saying he could have ran home?
I'm just saying he could have taken it a little easy. He shouldn't have driven. No. That's the main thing.
Do not get behind the wheel of a car after you've consumed alcoholic beverages. It's never worth it. And now someone's lost their life because of it. Mm-hmm. And someone will lose their life because of it tonight and tomorrow night. And it happens every night.
It's because the people are so dumb.
So, I mean, he's going to get what's coming to him, which is likely minimum 2 years of jail time. Yep.
I mean, those prison leagues are going to be fun now, I guess.
Tim, Jesus, you're having a...
what did you just...
The prison leagues are going to be fun.
Having who?
Deshaun Watson.
Oh boy, yeah, they got me on different teams. I saw you said that. Yeah.
This is a tough.
They got to make it
this
fair.
Is a tough picture that ESPN put up.
Yeah.
See, I told you.
Yeah. Well, he's always looked like that though.
Oh yeah. He looks like I can't. Yeah, there's one kid in a movie that's like it's not Goob, but his name is like Goob. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe even Stevens.
I don't know Goob.
I've never seen that movie.
Goob is from Meet the Robinsons.
Oh, right.
But there was one, it was like some kid that looks like Goob. Hold on, I'll find it.
All right, but moving on from the Raiders and everything that's happened there, just a general NFL talk. Chiefs won last night in a pretty close match against the Giants. But yeah, Chiefs do not look great at all. They've been struggling. Maybe it's the yips or something. Like, I don't know. No defense, pretty much. And that safety that's just letting up all those TDs. I forget his name.
Yeah.
Got it.
Sorry.
Got it.
I don't remember his name. But he's been terrible.
He looks like, what's his name in the show? Have you ever seen Even Stevens?
No.
You haven't?
No.
I'm too busy watching basketball.
You know Beans?
No.
There's like a show I watched when I was a kid.
No.
Okay. Never mind.
Well, you can still say. Maybe our listeners have heard of him.
All right. If you've seen Even Stevens, which is a kid's show on Disney Channel, 2001 to 2003, with Shia LaBeouf, a.k.a. Stanley and Holes, or whatever his name is.
Yep.
Beans looks just like Mark Davis.
Interesting.
Nice.
Not a good combo that you want to have.
No. So this is something Big Cat's been doing on Twitter, is ranking like different win teams. I'm going to name six teams, and I want you to name, or no, five, no, six teams. And I want you to give me an order of how you'd order these teams.
Like best to worst?
Yeah. These are the four win teams of the AFC.
Okay.
You have the Patriots, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Steelers, and the Browns. Patriots, Chargers, Chiefs, Broncos, Steelers, Browns. Talk me through how you would rate those teams.
Wait, sorry.
Who's one out of?
I think probably
these
the
three.
Yep.
And these two.
Yep. And then the Patriots.
I think probably. See if you can do the wild card view. It's a little easier to see.
Well, no, it's fine. I got it.
I think for me. First is probably the Chargers.
Okay.
Then I'm still going to go with the Chiefs just because that offense. Are they getting back star running back Clyde?
He's not a star running back.
They just brought in Mark Ingram.
He is exceptionally average.
No, Mark Ingram went to the Saints, right? No.
Yeah. Did he?
No, he just got signed by the Chiefs, I thought.
I don't know.
Search it up.
Big Truz.
So I think I'd go Chargers, Chiefs, Browns, Pats, Steelers, Broncos.
Yeah, he's on the Saints.
Oh, my bad. I thought I saw something today. I'm gonna stick with the Chiefs up top.
They just beat the Giants by three.
Beat the Giants by three, but like
I don't think the other four win teams are
gonna
great.
They're gonna turn around eventually, right? I hope so.
I don't know. I think the Patriots would beat the Giants.
Like they're gonna have to bring in some big
Giants are terrible.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad.
They lost to the Washington football team, who's even worse. They're god awful.
All right, so Chiefs up top. Then I'm going to say the Browns because they're going to get Baker back and Landry and all those.
I think Baker tweeted his Instagram story. He tweeted it was two graphs, and one was like police. It was like a police thing. He's a Blue Lives Matter guy. Like police, the number of people in the police force, and the other one was like murders. And it was like, oh, the fewer police. Like, we're not taking a stance on this issue right now. This is not a political podcast or a commentary on social justice or whatever. But
you're the one bringing it up.
I'm bringing it up because it was funny. The graphs were just looked like they were made by a 10-year-old. And they had an arrow to show the trend. And the arrow was like a little crooked. And it was like, oh, thanks, Baker. I needed the arrow. Like, I can't read a graph. It was really comical. It might still be up. Let me look if it's still up.
His social media guy probably made him take it down.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah, I'm going to go Chiefs, Browns, Steelers, Chargers, Pats, Broncos.
Okay.
You put the Steelers above the Pats?
That's
I'm not biased.
We're not biased. I would just beat the Chargers in LA. Yeah. So, moving on. I mean, AFC West looks interesting. AFC North's pretty good.
AFC West is wide open now.
Can you rank the one loss teams in the NFC? You have the Packers, Cardinals,
Rams,
and Cowboys.
I'll go Rams, Packers, Cardinals, Cowboys.
You went Rams?
Rams won. Yeah. So I'll talk through it. Rams won. I think they're just the best team in
the
NFC.
They just got Von Miller. I agree.
They just got Von Miller. Rams are number one. I think they're number one.
Cooper Kupp, Stafford, got insane connection.
Cooper Kupp is on pace to break his own touchdown and
receiving
yards. He's almost at his own touchdown receiving yards record.
And it's only 8 games.
Yeah. So I think Rams are number one. I put the Packers next just because they've been really good.
Yep. I was going to say, I agree with your entire list.
Cardinals, just because they, Cardinals and Packers, you could say, are more interchangeable, but obviously the Packers just beat the Cardinals, so
Cardinals
I give them a slight edge.
Also just lost J.J. Watt for the entire year.
And the Cowboys have beat who's on their schedule, but they haven't played any exceptional teams. And they don't really until they play the Cardinals. In the beginning of January, but they lost the Bucs by 2.
That was the first game of the season.
Beat the Chargers, solid team. Beat the Eagles, who aren't great. Beat the Panthers, who we now know are not good. Beat the Giants, who we know suck.
Beat the Chargers, who aren't that good either.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then beat the Pats, who are pretty good. Pats are very good.
So
very
doing
good.
Better than I thought.
Yep. So I agree with your
Pats could be like 6-2, but yeah.
I agree with your one loss teams.
Mm-hmm.
Would you put obviously the Bucs probably better than the Cowboys?
Yep.
Where do the Bucs fall in? If they were a one, let's say they were 7-1,
like in the playoffs.
No, do you think that they're better than the Cardinals? The Bucs.
I think the Bucs are better than the Packers.
Okay,
I put the Bucs 2 behind the Rams.
Put them right below the Packers.
But in a playoff game, I think the Rams are better than the Bucs. In a playoff game, I'm still taking the Bucs. I will tell you right now, I'm taking the
playoff. Yeah.
Unless someone gets hurt, I'm taking the Bucs every game they're playing in the playoffs. Just because, I've seen this so many times. Yeah. It's Tom Brady. It's Mike Evans. It's everything. So that's where I stand on that.
All right.
Last remarks?
I think we covered everything pretty much.
You guys everything isn't covered.
Good.
Huh?
Bengals are fake good.
I think Jets. What was his name? Mike White?
Yeah.
He's better than Wilson.
Yeah. Played pretty well.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it for the show. Thank you all for listening to WGRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Eastern Pennsylvania. This was the Loose Ball Show. And goodbye.
See ya.